So hello and welcome to the Hypnotic Half Hour podcast with your host, me, Jason Simmons. This is the podcast where I'll be interviewing the most influential and inspirational people from around the world of hypnosis. Today's guest is Freddie Jacquin. Freddie Jacquin is probably most well known for his technique, the Arrow, which is a pain eliminating technique. So during the interview, I'll be talking to him about that, also about his smoking cessation protocol, amongst the many other things. So sit back and enjoy, and here's the half hour that I spent with Freddie Jacquin. Yeah, so how are you doing today? You okay? Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thanks for asking me.
I just wanted to ask you a few questions really to find out sort of how you got started in hypnosis and what it is that you do for our listeners. So I suppose I'll start and just ask you, like, how did you first become interested in hypnosis?
Well, I've always been interested in how good you can be physically. You know, I've tried to keep fit my whole life. But I've also understood that physically we're limited, but I don't believe mentally we are.
Right.
And I remember when my two older boys, who are now in their 40s, they were probably 12 or 11 or something like that at the time, and they were doing something on a computer. And I went to them and I said to them, you know, two people working together, you can achieve, you know, incredible things.
Yeah.
But that physically we are limited. And I said to them at the time, but mentally we're not. And I believe that. And then I'd seen a course advertised. I'd been living in the States. I came back.
Right.
I was sort of between what I was doing. I'd sold a business. Then I came back from the States. And then I saw this course advertised for hypnosis down in Bournemouth. And I thought I'd just apply just to find out what it was about, really.
Yeah.
So I went and did the course. Looking back on it, the course probably wasn't that good, but it got me into it. It got me interested. And then, you know, people asked me, can you help me with this? Can you help me with that? And I thought, I just love this.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got into it, really, just out of curiosity. But since I've been doing it, as I said to a few people, you know, I can't ever imagine a time when I wouldn't want to be doing hypnosis.
Sure. And when you sort of got into hypnosis, like, do you remember like the first time that you hypnotized someone?
Yeah, I believe it was my son Dean. And I came back from the course and he said, oh, so you're a hypnotist now, are you? Ha, 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 you know. And I said, well, yeah, I've learned how to hypnotize. He said, well, you know, hypnotize me. I said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, I want to lose a couple of stone. He said he was boxing at the time and he wanted to lose 2 stone, get fit for this fight. So I studied this. The course I did was about analysis, which looking back, you know, it's not a good way to work. But
sure.
At the time, that's all I knew. So I got him to lay on his couch and I went through the usual sort of stuff. And I did some aversion therapy with him
because right, okay.
That's what I'd learned, you know. And anyway, all the way through it, he was going like laughing.
Yeah.
And laying on this couch. So anyway, I brought him out of hypnosis and he went, well, that didn't work. He said, you know, you wasted your money. He said, you haven't hypnotized me. So I said to his wife, I said, look, I said, when I leave, I said, you know, offer him a sandwich. Anyway, because I'd given him a version for bread and potatoes.
Right.
Anyway, long story short, I phoned her and she said, and I said, you know, how'd he get on? She said, well, he didn't have the sandwich. She said, but this morning he got a crumb on his lip. He said, and he brushed it off really quickly. Anyway, over the next couple of months, he lost 2 stone. I don't think he ate bread and potatoes for about 2 years. So he still don't think he's been hypnotized. He'll still say he's never been hypnotized. But, you know, that's the way it is.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think he was the first person I hypnotized.
Okay, and then for our listeners at home, like an aversion therapy, so they might not know what aversion is. That would just be like sort of, how would you describe that for sort of people listening?
It's a really old way of working, but what you used to do was you'd make whatever they didn't want to have, you'd make it taste disgusting.
Right.
Or you'd say, you know, this will happen when you do that. And, you know, it gives them an aversion to it.
Sure.
I mean, I still use it to some extent, but only in a smoking, and it's only very rapidly. What I do in my smoking cessation sort of session, I get them, the client, to go back through time as they are now, as the adult they are now, with the understanding they have now, and go back to the very first mouthful of cigarette smoke they smoked. They go back to that child. I say, you remember where you were, remember who you were with, you're whizzing back through time. You can see that kid there, drop down beside them, put your arm around them and walk them through that first cigarette. You can remember what it tasted like now. In fact, you can taste it now. You've got that first mouthful of smoke in your mouth. And I say, and from today, whenever you think about cigarettes, you'll think about that first mouthful of smoke. And so that, for me, is a very rapid aversion. Right. I want that client to go out of there. You know, obviously, we've done all the other work, you know, undermining the programming that goes with smoking, the habitual side of it. Yeah. But I throw that in, it's a bit sort of belt and braces. And what I expect is that whenever they think about cigarettes, they just don't want a cigarette. They just don't fancy one. So that's my sort of way of working with aversion. But it's rare that I use it, and I only use it in that situation now.
Right, okay. And you don't really use it as so you wouldn't give them like a bad taste that, you know, or ask them to imagine, say, the worst taste in the world and then use that as an aversion. You'd use the actual cigarette.
I use the original first mouthful of smoke because I don't know anyone that smoked that enjoyed that first mouthful of smoke. In fact, it probably made them feel sick. So, you know, and that's one of the things I do say. I say you will feel sick, but you will not be sick, because we taught this on one of our courses years ago, and one of the guys, the students, went home and he started working from his home. Right. And he did an aversion with his first smoker, and they threw up in his front room. So, you know, sometimes the suggestion can really bite. So I always throw that in. You'll feel sick, but you will not be sick.
Sure.
But as I say, it's rare. It's not how I work in general, but that's, as I say, that's what I was trained in originally. And I very soon got over that, and I very soon realized there are much better ways of working. The course I did was called Successful Hypnotherapy, a big emphasis on successful, how to create a business out of it. And the guy at the time, because he was running analysis, he would say, you keep your client in for 12 weeks.
Right.
And okay. You know, whatever the case, you keep him for 12 weeks. And I won't name the guy. I won't name his course. I think he might still be around. But this is what he said. He said, you know, it's easy to keep someone into therapy. He said, all you have to do before you bring them out of hypnosis, you just suggest that I'll look forward to seeing you in a week's time. You know, in a moment, I'm going to count to five. Yeah. Your eyes will open. You'll feel great, and you'll find yourself looking forward to our next session where we can continue to carry on. It's a very unethical way to work, yeah. But it's, you know, it's a way that some people used to work. So as soon as I left that course, and as soon as I started reading about Erickson, his way of working, you know, forward focus therapy. Mm. Brief therapy, which is what I do. I rarely see anyone more than once. I know it sounds a terrible thing to say. It's not a good business model, but sure. I want my client going out of my office free of the smoking habit, free of their phobias, free of the need to overeat or snack or comfort eat or whatever they've come for. I don't want them to do that as quickly as possible. As right. I said, it's not a very good business model, but I've seen 30,000 clients. So, you know, from referrals from people, when they know that you're doing the work as well as you can do it. They know that you want the best for them. And sure. I was saying to someone the other day, I've had people who quit smoking with me, 6 months later start smoking again for whatever reason, and they phone me up and they apologize to me, which is a very strange thing to do considering, you know, I've taken money off them, I've tried to help them. But I think the only reason they would apologize to me is because they knew that when they are with me, I really want them to be well. I really want them to quit. Right. So, as I said, it's rare, but people, you know, people go back to doing things for whatever reason. They come and see me again. In general, I don't charge them for a second session. They come and see me. I say, come and see me. We'll have half an hour together and we'll put it out of your life forever. And generally, that's what happens. So my way of working is that I want my client free of the problem as quickly as possible. Sure. You know, if it's a matter of seeing someone two or three times, then fine. But in reality, it's rare that I do that.
Yeah. So I know with yourself recently, you've developed your sort of the Jack Quinn smoking cessation protocol.
I've been running that from you know 1996 or so.
Okay.
We've just put it out as a product. But I've helped over 20,000 people quit smoking with that protocol.
Sure.
So Anthony said to me, like, let's put it out there. Let's let other people see how we work, see what we can do. And it's gone brilliantly. And people, you know, the the referrals and the testimonials from people who are using that protocol are great. As I said, I've worked with groups of up to 200 people at a time for smoking. In 2006 alone, I saw 5,000 people for smoking in groups of 200 all around the country using that protocol. So, you know, I know it works. It's something I'll continue to do. My sister-in-law once asked, don't you get fed up saying the same thing over and over again? Personally, I never get fed up with, you know, with using that protocol, because people come in with their own story. And I said to my sister-in-law, it's like being a brain surgeon and knowing that what you're doing works and thinking, well, I'll just try something else just to see what happens. You know, I'd rather use something that I know absolutely works.
Sure. And so with yourself, like when you have sessions with people, do you have like a certain structure to a session? Like, is it always the same, or do you change the session up depending on who's in front of you?
Yeah, obviously I change it for who's in front of me. But basically the core way that I work stays much the same. You know, I work on a theory. This is just my theory, but as I say, I feel I have a right to have a theory now because I've seen 30,000 clients. I have a theory that behind every behavior, your unconscious mind, your instinctive survival part of your brain is only ever trying to do one of two things. It's either trying to protect you or it's trying to give you pleasure.
Right.
So the question when people come in, the only question I have to sort of ask myself is, what is this behavior doing for them? In general, it's protective. I mean, sometimes it's pleasure, but in general, it's protective. So I run what I call a parts negotiation. And I know, you know, because you've worked with me, you know what I'm talking about. And basically it's based on the sort of idea that when we create any learnt behavior, whether that's driving a car, whether it's reading or writing, whether it's smoking a cigarette, whether it's snacking, once it becomes an automatic function, something we can do without thinking, we no longer have conscious control over it.
Right.
It's as if at that point we create a part of us that's doing that job for us. You know, I play guitar and I could sit and I could do this podcast with you and I could play you a tune at the same time.
Sure.
And while I'm talking about hypnosis, the part that can play the guitar will be playing you a tune. You know, you have a part of you that can drive, so you can talk to a friend and listen to the radio. And we develop these parts, if you like. And when I first started saying this, you have a part of you that smokes, I thought people would go, well, this is very odd. But it's not. It's how we speak to ourselves. You know, we often say, oh, I'd love to get up and do karaoke, but there's a part of me won't let me do it.
Yeah.
You know, we then have a couple of pints and that part becomes quiet and we get up and make a fool of ourselves. But, you know, we have these parts that protect us. And it's the same with fears and phobias. You know, people, sometimes they know that their fear is irrational, but it's as if a part of them is saying, don't do it, don't do it.
Right.
They want to fly. They want to go on holiday. They know that planes are 10,000 times safer than driving a car. But there's still a part of them says, don't do it. And when you speak to people about parts in that way, they get it. I've never had anyone say, no, that's not what it's like. And so with parts negotiation, it's very simple for me to say, in a moment, I'm going to hypnotize you. I'm going to speak to the part of you that runs the smoking habit. It will communicate. I will ask it to explain what it's been trying to do for you since you were 12 or 13. I'm then going to ask it to find something else to do for you that's of equal benefit or more. Right. That has nothing to do with smoking. It's very simple language. I then ask that part to pick one of the new choices and then do it for the client. And as simple as that sounds, that's what happens.
Sure.
And they go out and the need for a cigarette's gone. What I say to my clients is that I'm not going to take away the ability to smoke, the ability to snack. You know, you don't have to go into a room with a spider. But the need to smoke, the need to overeat is gone. And you have two choices. And what I want for all of my clients is they have more choice, not less choice. The old way of working, as we were talking earlier about aversion, is that they have no choice. They just can't bite their fingernails. They just can't smoke a cigarette. And after a while, the conscious mind will find a way around that.
Yeah.
I had a client came to see me once, and she said that she'd been to see a guy for quit smoking. And what he told her was that if she lit a cigarette, it would explode in her face. I know. So because she was hypnotized, she went out, and that was an absolute belief.
Yeah.
But she, what she decided was that if she gave the cigarette to her husband first and it didn't explode in his face, then she could smoke it. So she found a way around it.
Yeah,
it's a bit like people who have you know, actual gastric bands fitted. You know, they blend stuff down so they can drink it rather than eat it.
Yeah,
people will find ways around. If you're forced to do something, your conscious mind will find a way around it. So what I want for my clients, and I say it to them, I want you to have more choice, not less choice. I want you to enjoy your food even more. I want you to enjoy a glass of wine even more. But I want you to have the ability to say, I've had enough.
Right, okay.
And by giving them back the responsibility, it lasts, as far as I'm concerned, it lasts forever.
Yeah.
Because it's not me forcing them to do something through hypnosis. It's not me saying you can't ever have another cigarette. You know, that's how I see it. And I think that's why I'm successful and people get the results they want, because you're saying to them, look, you're an adult. All I'm going to do is help you get out of your own way for a moment, get in touch with your own resources, your own strengths, so that you can overcome this, not me forcing you to do it.
Sure.
That's how I see the work that I do.
Right. Okay. And so one of the things you're probably sort of most well known for is the arrow technique, which I've actually done myself. So how did you come to discover that technique, or when did you first use it?
Well, as I said, I've read a lot. I don't read a lot of books, but I read about Erikson, and I do think he was a genius. Sometimes we get them in all walks of life. Every now and again, we get a genius that moves us from where we are to where we, you know, to a higher level. I believe Erikson was that man in hypnosis, and he understood. You know, if you ask someone on the street what hypnosis is, they'll probably say it's sleep or it's relaxation, because that's what it looks like when they see people on stage. You know, in fact, they use the words relax, sleep.
Mm.
And so they'd probably say that's what it is. In fact, as you and I both know, hypnosis has nothing to do with relaxation or sleep.
Yeah.
But that's the general public's idea of what hypnosis is. Now, and in fact, when people go into hypnotherapy, in general, I say that when they start to hypnotize the person, they say, you know, close your eyes, allow your body to relax. That's generally how we start.
Yeah.
But Erikson understood that if someone's in pain, in chronic pain, in serious agony, and you ask them to relax, that's ridiculous. Because to ask someone to relax when they're in pain is just crazy.
Mm.
So he would use the pain itself as a focus of attention. He would say, focus on that pain just for a moment. Find the very center of that pain, the hot spot. And focus. So he'd use the focus of attention on the pain to drive them into hypnosis.
Oh, okay.
So I'd read this about Erikson, and for years I'd suffered from kidney stones. And apparently it's the worst pain that a man can experience. The only thing that's worse than that is childbirth. And luckily for us men, we can't experience that. So My way of before I knew hypnosis, before I knew anything about hypnosis, my way of distracting myself from that pain was to go to a memory, a very clear memory in my mind. And I still know that memory. It was the time that I traveled down through France with a girlfriend. We stopped on the side of the road to have a picnic. And so I'll go back to that memory. I'll try and remember what the color of her shorts were, what the number plate on her car was, what kind of beer we had, what was the cheese we ate. And I'd get into that memory as detailed as I could, to the point where I could actually get back into my body and feel what it felt like in that memory. At that point, I wasn't feeling any pain in the moment. So these two ideas in my mind, and I had an idea that I could use these two distraction, disassociation, and focus to help people out of pain. And I was working with a large group of smokers down in Wales. It might have been Cardiff or Swansea, one of those two big cities. Anyway, and at the end of it, I would say to people, look, I'll be back in 6 weeks. If you know anyone that wants to come and see me, doesn't have to be for smoking because you're all finished smoking, but I'll be back in 6 weeks. A lady put her hand up and said, can you help anyone with pain? And I said, I can. Bear in mind, I hadn't used this technique at the time, but I said, I can. I said, who's it for? She said, it's for me. I've had a pain in my leg for 9 years. I said, well, don't wait 6 weeks. If you wait around till we finish, I'll help you. with that, another lady was there on crutches, only in her 30s, but she was on crutches. She said, can I stay? I said, yes. Now, this girl had osteoporosis, a crumbling of the spine. Right. She'd been walking on crutches for 12 years. So I'd seen everyone out of the room, and there was the girl on the crutches. There was a woman who had the pain in her hip. A couple of people that were helping me. The girl on the crutches, her four-year-old son was there with his auntie. The woman with the pain in her hip, she had a friend there. So it was about maybe seven or eight people in the room. I hypnotized the two women, and I ran what we now call the arrow, which is basically getting the person to disassociate from their body and then see a target. And then we put the pain in the target, they focus on that pain, and then we eliminate that pain. Mm. So I ran the technique for the first time with these two women, but I ran it as if I'd run it 1,000 times. You know, there was no doubt in my mind. Well, it was a doubt in my mind that would it work, but there was, I knew, as I say to my students, I had my doubts, but what I had no doubt about was I could keep my doubts to myself.
Yeah.
So I ran it as if I'd run it 1,000 times. The girl who was on crutches, her hands came down because she was in hypnosis. Her hands had drifted up. Her hands came down. I looked at her. I said, where's the pain gone now? She looked at me and she said, I haven't got any pain. So with that, the other girl's eyes opened and she started to cry. And I said, are you all right? She said, yes, but I haven't got any pain, for the first time in 9 years. So she was crying tears of joy. So the girl with the crutches stood up and she said, I think I can walk without my crutches. I said, I'm not a medical person. She said, well, hold my crutches. Yeah. So I held this girl's crutches. She started to walk towards me tentatively. And I said, are you in pain? She said, no, I'm not in pain, but I haven't walked without crutches for 12 years. So she said, I've got an MRI scan coming up. Do you think I ought to have it? I said, absolutely. I said, but it'd be nice to walk in there without any pain. She said, I will. And with that, she put these crutches under her arm. She took her little boy's hand for the first time since he was born. And walked out this conference room. And I know it sounds a bit blasphemous, but the guy who was working with me, Mark Davies, this Welshman, he said, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Because it looked like pick up your bed and walk. It was that miraculous. And since then, I've seen thousands of people. We sell this product all around the world. Thousands and thousands of people are using the technique and helping thousands of other people out of pain. And I'm now running these seminars once a month. I ran one last night and on Zoom, on Zoom. It's a bit like Skype, if you haven't heard of it. And we're getting hundreds of people every time on those sessions. And it's just miraculous that even on the net, you know, online, using this technique, you can help someone in chronic pain alleviate that pain.
Yeah.
And you can do it. You know, Jason, because you're using it. You can do this in minutes. It doesn't take days, years, weeks. You can do this in minutes, and you can do it with or without hypnosis.
Yeah.
So my goal, if you like, is for everyone to learn the technique. Yeah. I want mums to use it. I want fathers to use it. I want teachers, anyone that comes in contact with someone that's hurting or suffering. And when we first developed it, it was for chronic physical pain. But as you know now, you know, you can use it for emotional pain.
Sure.
And what I say is, whether that pain's called anxiety, whether it's called stress, you know, you can use this technique, and it's simple. And as I said, I want everyone to learn how to use it. I personally will never, ever charge anyone to help them out of pain. Mm-hmm. I've made that decision at the end of last year. My mum was really ill. She lives in Kent. I live in Northeast. She'd been taken in a hospital. I drove down. It was about a 5-hour drive. I went down and I saw her. She was in pain. She'd been on these pills, and the doctor had given these pills with a repeat prescription. And the doctor hadn't told her that they were for a month. My mum took these pills for 18 months. Yeah. It actually destroyed her kidneys, and she was in kidney failure. Her body was swollen. She could only move one arm, and she was in agony. And so I ran the technique with her, and I'm always reluctant to work with family for whatever reason that is. But I ran the technique, and she went into hypnosis. About 15 minutes later, one of the nurses came in, made a bit of noise. She opened her eyes. I stayed with her for maybe a couple of hours. And bear in mind, at this time, she could not move more than one arm. She couldn't get out of bed. She had to be, you know, looked after. She had to be washed in bed, everything. And for my mum, that was really terrible. But anyway, I had to go home. So I drove back that same night. The next day, her partner rang me and said, your mum's out of bed, she's has no pain, and she's actually showering on her own. Now, you have to have seen this to understand what a change that was. But because that had happened for my mum, I made a decision in that moment. I will never personally charge anyone to help them out of physical pain. So these webinars that I do once a month, they're free for anyone to join. And people are joining from all around the world. And as I said, it is a quest of mine that as many people can learn this technique as possible.
And if someone wants to join the one of those webinars, like how can they go about joining that?
They can just go to my website. It's freddiejackwin.com. You can look under webinars, I think it's called, and you'll see they're free, a free webinar there. It's on the 11th of each month. And as I said, it's free to join. As I say to people, what have you got to lose but that pain? You know, it's not going to cost you anything. You know, we have an hour or so together on online. And as I said, my goal is over these next few years, because I'm getting on, is to help as many people as possible out of their physical and emotional pain. And I want people to learn how to do it. And again, if someone's interested in learning how to use this technique, then they can go to the arrowtechnique.com and you can learn to do this yourself. Or you can join me on my training courses. Sure. But as I said, you know, that aside, I want everyone to learn how to do this. And I'll tell you how easy it is. I've got four sons. My oldest boy is 47. My youngest boy is 16. But my youngest son, when he was 9 years old, we were home one evening. He was having his tea. He was eating his dinner. And he was telling me, he just said, as he was eating his dinner, he said, today, he said, one of my friends in class, bear in mind he's 9 years old, one of my friends had broken her arm. Said she'd been to the hospital. It's in plaster. It's in a cast. But she was crying in class because she was in pain. She said, and they couldn't give her any more aspirin, any more medication because she was only 9 years old. He said, I did that thing what you did, Dad. He said, I took the pain away. And he carried on eating as if it was nothing. Sure. Now, if my nine-year-old son can do this technique, then anyone can learn how to do it. And as I said, for whatever reason, it works. And people will look into it. There'll be people researching why it works. For me, I've got to be honest, I don't care why it works. Yeah. And nor do the clients. They just want freedom from their pain. Yeah. So, you know, as I said, it's the Arrow technique. If anyone's interested, then go on my website. They can look it up online, and the whole course is downloadable online.
Okay, so you've got it as a download now, because I think when I did it, it was a sort of in-person training at the time.
Yeah, no, it's been out as a product now for a couple of years. You can download it. It's Anthony, my son Anthony, yep, who you know, he's interviewing me. We've got there's film of me working with three people, so we can go over the actual protocol, and we break it down into parts so you can see how it works, why it works, and you can learn this. And anyone can learn it. You don't have to be a hypnotist to learn how to use the Arrow. And I'd love doctors to learn how to use it. We've got people in Brazil, a surgeon in Brazil, using this in theatre. So, you know, it is a fantastic tool.
And for anyone that wants to sort of learn the technique in person, I mean, have you got any training that's coming up in the near future at all?
Yeah, you can visit our website, which is the JackwinHypnosisAcademy.com. And we run training all through the year on the Arrow. We ran what we call a modern hypnotism workshop, which is a one-day workshop. We teach about eight different techniques on that course, and we run our PhD, which is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's a professional hypnotherapy diploma. Right. And I run that with my son Anthony, and we teach people all over the world how to use these wonderful techniques.
Sure. And I mean, if you had one piece of advice you could give to, say, a new therapist, like what would that advice be?
I would say it would be to keep this in mind when you're working with someone, not just for hypnotherapists, but for everyone that works with people. I run this like a loop in my mind, and sometimes I say it, but most of the time, but I will always think it, and it's this. When you're working with someone, hold this thought in your mind and your heart. I care about you, and I want you to be well, because I believe that transfers over. You know, when you step up to hypnotize someone, do it totally confidently. And I know when you first start out, you know, we will have our doubts. And as I said to you earlier, this is what I'd like my students to learn. And it's as hard as some of the techniques. And it's this thought, and it's not my quote, it's an Erickson quote. And it came from a time when he was dealing with someone who was in chronic pain. They had cancer of the jaw, only a few months left to live. And they tried everything else. This guy didn't want to be on painkillers. So he wanted to be able to speak to his family and converse with his family. So he wanted some other way of dealing with his pain. So they called Erickson in. And Erickson ran his protocol and took this pain out of this man's face. And someone asked Erickson afterwards, said, did you know that you could do that? And he said these words, and I'd like every young therapist, all therapists, to bear this in mind. He said this. He said, I had my doubts, but what I had no doubt about, I could keep my doubts to myself. And I think that's as hard to learn as the techniques. But when we step up, you know, act as if this is going to absolutely happen. Work as if it's going to happen. Hold the thought in your mind, I care about you. I want you to be well. And I believe you'll get better results by just those two things in your mind. You know, if you step up and say, I hope to help you, I'm going to try and help you, with a bit of luck and a wind behind you, we'll get over this. Mm. You know, that is not the way to approach this work. You know, do we get 100% results? Obviously not. But you'll get better results and more results if you act as if it's going to happen, sure, than you do if you've doubt yourself. So, as I said, you know, I run training. People want to train with me, they can contact me on my website. They can contact the Jack Wynn Hypnosis Academy and work with myself and Anthony. And I am now doing the Arrow training online. So again, you can visit my website. I've got an Arrow training coming up in a few weeks' time, right, which we can do online as well. So, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, yes, you can probably tell I love this. I can talk about it forever.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose lastly, I mean, is there anything that I haven't asked you today that maybe I should have asked you?
I don't think so. I mean, I you know, it's difficult from this side of the conversation, yeah, because I've been talking. But as I said, I think that we're getting to a point where hypnosis is becoming less and less one of the dark arts. Mm. It's becoming more and more acceptable. I like to think that I'm doing a thing at the UK Hypnosis Convention this year, and it's the presentation is everyday hypnosis that anyone can use. And what I'm going to be teaching in an hour, if someone comes up to you and says, I'm in pain, you know, can you help that person? Can you say yes? Mm. If someone says, I've got this fear and I need to get on this plane, you've only got 3 or 4 minutes to work with that person, can you help that person? If someone's got anxiety or doubt and they ask for your help and you've only got a few minutes, can you help that person? I believe that we can all use these hypnotic techniques. The word hypnosis sometimes gets in the way. Yeah. Some of the work we can do just in conversation. Once you understand how the mind works, for me, this is very simple. If I can create an emotion within you, then I can give you a suggestion that's likely to stick, that's likely to bite. And so to do that is very simple for me. If I can get you thinking about the people you love and picturing their faces and feeling that love, I've created an emotion within you. If I get you to smile, I've created an emotion in you. And at that point, there's a window of opportunity to give you a suggestion. I'd like to think that suggestions are positive, but for me, that's how simple it is to influence someone. Yes, we can go through the ceremony of hypnosis. We can go through all the relaxation and stuff like that. But sometimes it's as simple as saying, you know, who's the most important person in your life? Mm. You know, when it comes to smoking or drugs or anything else that we're doing detrimental to ourselves, my question to my clients is a very simple question. Would you want your child doing that?
Right, yes.
You know, in that moment, I can say, well, if you wouldn't want your child doing it, do yourself a kindness and walk away from it. Sometimes that is enough to stop someone. And, you know, for me, this is very simple now. I've been doing it for a long time, admittedly, but I find that this work becomes easier and easier. And less and less of the ceremony, more of a conversation. You know, we've been communicating since we could speak. Mm. And sometimes when people do hypnosis, they suddenly think they've got to communicate in a different way. I don't believe that. I think you've got to trust that we've been communicating. You can learn some wonderful techniques and use them. But really, it's just communication between two human beings.
Oh, definitely. Oh, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today, Freddie. I really appreciate
it. Well, thanks for asking me to do this, Jason. It's really good of you. Yeah. You know, and I wish you all the best. We've worked together.
Yeah, definitely.
We've had time together. You know, I love what you do. I love the work you do. You know, just keep it up and, you know, keep helping people, keep teaching people how to use this wonderful tool that we call hypnosis.
Sure. Oh, thanks for that. I really appreciate it, Freddie, and hopefully we get to talk again in the future.
Yeah, I'd love that.
All right, thanks, Freddie, and have a good day.
Have a great day.
All right, cheers. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
So that was my interview with Freddie Jacquin. If you enjoyed that, please rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice. We'd love to get your feedback, so please also feel free to email us at mappingmindshypnosis@gmail.com. And if you want to find out more about Freddie's work, you can click the show notes below or visit my website, which is www.mappingminds.co.uk. And I look forward to seeing you on next week's podcast.